So I'd like to start with this plate here. Who can tell me what this plate is for?
For eating,
for holding food. Is that not correct? Looks like it's been under the onions in my house. So what would happen if I would take this plate, tear it in half? Is anybody in here interested in using this for dinner tomorrow night? Yeah. Especially if it's lasagna or spaghetti or, what do you think? Wow. Now have a divided plate. You interested in using this? If you were at church picnic and this was what was available, who's interested? It's not usable for what it was made for. So tonight I want to talk to you about a divided heart. A divided heart. So at our house, we have this set of books, Uncle Arthur's Bedtime Stories. Does anybody have this at your house? These are awesome stories. We love these. My grandbabies have them at their house, and they come to our house, and they're like, oh, you have the same books as us. I'm like, where do you think you got your books from? Grandma bought them. So anyway, I want to tell you a story. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell it to you. This is one that I told our children many, many times. Whitney probably would know without me even telling her. The two Carolines, one of my favorite stories. Caroline goes to school and she's an absolute sweetheart. Her teacher loves her. She is just wonderful, wonderful attitude. She'll do anything you ask her to do. She's amazing. She goes home and she's a complete different Caroline. She's disrespectful, she's grouchy, she's unkind to her mother. And her mother wonders, what in the world am I going to do with these two Carolines? How can I change this? You see here the picture of her being super sweet at home and at school. And a total grouch at home. And so one day, the mother had a visit from the teacher. But Caroline didn't know that. Caroline comes home, and the teacher's in the front room. And the mother asks Caroline if she would set the table. And she sets it about how she normally does. Just throws things on the table and hopes that they get in the right area very half-heartedly. And she's grumbling and grouching verbally. And doesn't realize her teacher's in the other room hearing everything she said. And then her mother said, we're having a guest for supper. Would you set one more plate? And by the way, the guest is in the other room waiting. And then would you please go call the guest? And can you imagine how she felt when she saw it was this teacher who had only seen the very nice, the very sweet Caroline. And now she sees the other Caroline. I would say Caroline had a divided heart. And I have to wonder, how in the world did kindness and meanness and disrespect come out of that same heart? But again, my title is, Do You Have a Divided Heart? And so I was trying to think of some examples of a divided heart. Who in here is familiar with the classic story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? We have very many? All right, so Dr. Jekyll, what was he like during the day? Kind, compassionate. He was a doctor, and he took care of people, and the community just thought he was wonderful. But at night, when he shut the doors and all of his patients went home, I think he had drug addiction or something, because he would drink this concoction of some chemical, and it turned him into Mr. Hyde, who would go out and get drunk and be very mean. He had a divided heart. And then I thought about the Bible. But there's stories of maybe sometimes when people have had a divided heart. And so Hosea 10:2 says, their heart is divided, now shall they be found faulty. So we'll look at the background a little bit. Helps when we look at scripture and kind of wonder what exactly is going on here. So when Hosea was bringing this proclamation from the Lord, Israel was struggling with Baal worship and true God worship. And this is something that they struggled with a lot. And they wanted to mix the two. They really liked Baal worship. They had a strong affection. One commentator says they have a strong affection for Baal worship. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about what Baal worship actually included. Often it was human sacrifice, more often than not, little children. Baal worship involved prostitution. There would be temple prostitutes, and you would go into your worship, and there would be prostitution going on right there in their worship service, so to speak. It was not uncommon to hope for the best when you were building a city or building a house. And so they would take small, live children and bury them in the foundation. This was Baal worship. And Israel was wanting to mix true God worship with Baal worship. They had a divided heart. We look at that with horror. What in the world are they thinking? But they wanted to do that. This is very similar to what happened on Mount Carmel. In 1 Kings 18 and 21, there's a contest. And Elijah comes out to the people and he says, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? They had a divided heart. And it was the same God. True God, Yahweh, Jehovah, or Baal. And they were wanting to serve them both. And Elijah says, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal is, follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Two huge, conflicting, different ways of worshiping two different gods, and they want to serve them both. Their hearts divided like this plate. One reason why Baal worship was such a problem was something called peer pressure. The neighbors worship Baal. And we don't want to be different. Oh my, people will make fun of us. Who wants to be different? I'd like to be like my neighbors. They're having so much fun. I mean, when they go to church, they're really getting into it. They're partying and dancing and drinking. They're having a good time, and they got these big idols. They can see what they're worshiping. We go to church, and it's very sober, very solemn. We're not dressed up. We're not dancing. Can't see God. I don't know what he looks like. So see how Baal worship was exciting. They thought, now I know this is the true God. We really should worship him. He brought us out of Egypt, and he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, they know this. So what if we could just have a little bit of both worlds? We could have some true God worship, and we could have some Baal worship. Just have a divided heart here. And Elijah called him out on it. And I thought that was sad when he called him out and said, make a choice. How long halt ye? Translation says limping. They're limping between two opinions. Maybe this one, maybe that one. Back and forth, back and forth. And the people answered not a word. That's the end of that scripture. It's pretty sad. It's like they were saying, I'll serve God, and I'm going to serve Baal, both at the same time. What does a divided heart look like today? What is a major characteristic of the chameleon? What does the chameleon do? Changes colors to match what? The surroundings. He wants to blend in. He wants to just be like what he's beside. And too many times, there's that temptation. I want to blend in. When I'm at church, well, I'll be a Christian. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. I'll be a Christian. But then when I'm at school, yeah, not so much. I'd rather not. It makes me look different. Who wants to stick out? Who wants to be odd? And so a divided heart might be like a chameleon. When we're here, we're one thing. And when we're there, we're something else. Or you could be half-hearted. Like Caroline, when she's at the table and threw the silverware, aiming for, hoping that they landed in the right place. Have you ever done something half-heartedly? Your chores, I have to clean my bedroom again. Throw things in the closet, hope nobody looks, because Mom would never look in your closet, would she?
No.
Mom's been around a while, guess what? You write a thank you note. You get all of these birthday gifts, and Mom said you have to write thank you notes. At our house, especially for graduation parties, I made a rule. You were not allowed to spend the money till you wrote the thank you cards. I'm like, Mom. So they would have these huge amount of thank you cards. But I'm like, they went to the trouble of giving you a gift. You could write them a thank you card. And so a half-hearted thank you card might be, thanks, Sherry. Okay. A little more than that, you know. Have you ever been half-hearted, perhaps, about your homework? Oh, just whatever. Just get it done. Write a couple answers down. Hope it works out. Half-hearted could be like a divided heart. I mean, yeah, I would like to have the good grades, but I don't really want to put the effort into it. And so, like a divided heart. Sometimes a divided heart could be, I have to do this, but I really don't want to. I don't really mean it. I don't care. Did you ever do something, maybe got in a fight with your siblings, and Mom said, apologize. We all love to apologize, don't we? And so a half-hearted apology is, I'm sorry. But you're not really sorry. You're just trying to get out of trouble. We've all done it. Raise your hand. Amen. I have done it. Yes. We've all done it. It was half-hearted. You didn't mean it. You just did it because you had to. That's like having a divided heart. Just going through the motions. Another definition, another way to look at it is being double-hearted. Double-hearted, the definition says, having a false heart. Psalms 12 and 2 says, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. So like double talk. For instance, they say, different things come out of one side of your mouth than the other. Maybe you've heard that. Or you say one thing to the person to their face and another thing to their back. Oh, you look so lovely today. I love that dress. And they walk away. I cannot believe she wore that. What was she thinking? That's double talk. That's a double heart. You might say to mom and dad, well, of course I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Then you get a scold. Yeah, no. No, I'm not a Christian. And there you have a divided heart. Or double talk. Or a double heart. You might have two sets of vocabularies. One for church people. One for non-church people. Are there certain words that they're okay to say around your friends, but you say them around mom and dad and you're in big trouble? Might we have a divided heart? I got called on a few in my teen years. Thankfully, the Lord lets you slip and say things on the wrong time. The friend's words accidentally come out around the mom and dad words, around the mom and dads. And so then they call you on it. Yeah, I didn't mean to say that in front of you. But see, God puts people in our life to check us. I probably told you before, but when I was a teenager, I like to say, well, that's a lot of bull. I didn't think it was a bad word. One day my dad called me on it. He said, it's the implied. It's the word that you didn't say. It's the word people hear in their mind. After you say that, then they hear the second word, which we all know what it is. I was like, oh, wow, okay. So the vocabulary had to get cleaned up. I had never thought of that before, so I appreciate godly parents that bring that to our attention. But if we're not careful, we'll keep those vocabularies separate because we know that one's not appropriate to be using over here. And our heart is divided. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We can actually read a positiveness here when we're talking about having a divided heart. And this tells about David's mighty men. You ever heard of David's mighty men? David's mighty men, they were very good at warfare. And one scripture talks about when it came to hurling stones and shooting arrows, they could do it left and right-handed both. They were very, very skilled. In verse 33, if you're in that chapter, if you're following along, speaks of the men of Zebulun. So it kind of goes through men of Issachar and several different places they came from. But here we're going to specifically, this verse is telling us some characteristics of these men that are outstanding. They were expert in war. Now keep in mind, these were men that were shepherds and farmers, and they just left what they were doing and went to help David. They were experts with all instruments of war, the scripture says. Trained, that means they were trained to use all kinds of weapons. Although they were just farmers and shepherds, they must have been working at it. They could keep rank. Now I talked to Brother Steve, I said, what does that exactly mean? I think I kind of know. So that means, excuse me, there was no standing army at the time. So a standing army would be similar to what we have, like the Navy and the Army and our military, where that's what you go in there and you go to
it's your job.
Training. That's your job. So you're going to know how to keep rank. You're going to know how to do all these things that need to be done in the military. These men, they didn't know that. But yet they could keep rank. They could march in rank together. This required great discipline, as I'm sure that you can imagine. But the end of that verse says, they were not of double heart. So as all these wonderful things, they're strong and they're really good at fighting. They're good at marching. They're good at instruments of war. And oh, by the way, they also did not have a double heart. They had one purpose and one goal. They were fighting, working together toward that. They weren't half-hearted. Consider men who go to war like this, disciplined, marching in rank, able to use just about any weapon that they put their hands to, working together. What is going to happen? Quite possibly, they're going to win. But the flip side, what if they were a double-hearted, a false heart, half-hearted? Well, Dad told me it was this or plowing in the field, so I decided to do this. Divided heart. Well, you know, I kind of liked King Saul. I don't know why we're having to stick with David. I mean, Saul is the real king, but, you know, he is kind of going crazy, so half-hearted. Half-hearted, divided heart. If they're double-hearted, half-hearted, or divided heart, will they all obey orders? Chances are good they probably won't. Some grumbling in the midst. Will they march in rank? You're going too fast down there. I don't want to go that fast. Whistle slow. Who picks the pace around here anyway? I don't want to go this fast. Can you not see when the heart's divided, when we don't have a single purpose that we're all working toward together? A lot of other things can start to work in here. The men of Zebulun are recorded in the Bible for some important characteristics. And again, this one that stands out, they were not of a double heart. They did not have a divided heart. What are the dangers of having a divided heart? What might be some dangers? There's an old saying, he's here today and gone tomorrow. It speaks to someone very unreliable. You can't depend on them. They might show up, they might not. They promise to do something, you turn around, nothing happens. Divided heart. Well, I kind of want to, but yeah, maybe I don't have time. And so we can't depend on them. You maybe, if someone is like that, they do not have a single purpose, like the men of Zebulun. Well, this week I'm going to live for the Lord. Yes, definitely. Next week, well, it's too hard. I don't think I will. Then the next week we're having a revival. I'm going to live for the Lord. And then you go to school and there's a little persecution. No, I don't think I will. And so that back and forth, that's that divided heart. You're not wholehearted. You don't have a single purpose. You don't have a single goal that you're working toward. You're not practicing discipline to achieve that single purpose. Do you think the men of Zebulun, why do you think they could shoot with both their right and their left hand? They were just all ambidextrous? All of them? All? I forget how many the scripture says there were. I think they practiced and practiced and practiced. It required discipline. How do you think these men could march in rank? You think they're just, it just came naturally. They all started walking toward David. Well, look at this. We're all marching in rank. How about that? No, it took practice. They had to learn how to do it. They had to be disciplined. We're going to have one person set the pace, and we're going to all have the same pace. Same thing with the instruments of war. A divided heart, young people, is a lazy heart. Undisciplined. Not willing to put forth some effort. Another danger of having a divided heart is loss of identity. When your heart's divided, you really don't know who you are. Is this a plate? I don't know. I think we could probably look that. If I held that up, you wouldn't say, well, that's a plate that I need to use for lunch. You'd be a little confused. What exactly is this? Plates in my house aren't half circles. There's a loss of identity. Which team are you on anyway? Which uniform are you wearing? There was a quote I read and it said, when you join the devil's team, you won't feel comfortable going to the Lord's locker room at halftime. So I thought about that. Imagine you're playing on a literal team, a literal football team. But during halftime, you go to the other team's locker room. Yeah, that's awesome. You guys are winning. This is wonderful. And I want to hear what the coach has to say. And I'm here for the huddle and the advice. They would look at you like you were crazy. And you might be. But a divided heart. So it reminds me of a story. My dad, who had quite the sense of humor, when he would go to football games, he sat on the side that had the most comfortable benches. Not necessarily the side he was cheering for. Back in our day, Newark Catholic, it was a large rivalry between them and about any other school in the county. And so when Licking Valley played Newark Catholic, it was got pretty heated. And if it was, Whitefield, was that where they would have played for? So if it was at Whitefield and they had the nicer bleachers, Dad would sit on the Newark Catholic side and cheer for Licking Valley. That didn't go over well, as you can imagine. And no doubt, probably they were looking at him a little bit like the people might be looking at you if you'd have popped into the wrong locker room for a moment. Which team are you actually on? It's confusing. A divided heart. Who are you really? Well, you don't really know. You kind of want to do this, but you kind of want to do that. You're this person when you're here, and you're that person when you're there. You don't really know who you are. After a while, it becomes very confusing. That's why you act like a chameleon. You're trying to fit in, but you really don't fit in. Now think about Daniel. How was he able to take such a bold stand? Commentators believe he was very young when he was taken off to Babylon, maybe your age, maybe in his mid to late teens. The scripture says he purposed in his heart. He determined, but he couldn't have done that if his heart was divided. He had to have a heart that was undivided. And he purposed, he already decided ahead of time, when I get to this country, this pagan country, I am going to do what's right no matter what. And I want you to think about this. Daniel was taken and he lived among pagans. He was given a pagan name. Daniel had a very godly name and they gave him a pagan name. He was sent to pagan schools, but Daniel never forgot who he was. He was able to take his stand because he had a single purpose. He had an undivided heart. Even King Nebuchadnezzar, with all of his power, could not change Daniel. Young people, when you know who you are, you can serve God anywhere. The remedy. I think we all probably have battled this at times. We all probably have maybe felt like we've had this going on. I remember, I don't particularly like to be the oddball. I remember at school being a little difficult, to be the one that's so much different than everybody else. It's just easier to fit in. Nobody's looking at you and laughing at skirt girl, making fun of you for not talking foul like the guys in the locker room are. But what is the remedy? There's songs, there's kids' songs that we have sang probably, dare to be a Daniel. And I challenge you, dare to be different. Dare to have an undivided heart. The world, this is very common. Sometimes they're two-faced. Sometimes you don't even know if you can depend on them. They might say one thing and later you hear that they didn't mean it at all. They said something completely different. Dare to read your Bible and pray. Dare to be disciplined. If you feel like maybe you've got a divided heart, ask God for help. Psalm 86 and 11 says, teach me your way, Lord. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Remove things that divide your heart. So in 1519, Captain Cortez sails with his soldiers to Veracruz. They're going to conquer. Go in here and fight and conquer and take over. And when they landed and they all got off the ship, does anybody know what he did? He had all the ships burned. Why do you think he did that?
No turning back.
There's no turning back. When they were in war, fighting with the natives, I want to go forward. No, I want to go back to the ship. I want to go forward. I'm back to the ship. I want to win. Never mind. I don't want to win. I want out of here. We have removed the get out of here option. It is forward or die. Young people, if there's something in your life that's causing you to have a divided heart, let's remove it. Let's remove it. Think of Captain Cortez and his ship. Is there something you're holding on to that's dividing your heart? I think about the old story, you guys have all heard it, about the monkey. There was some men that would go and catch monkeys and sell them. I don't know if maybe it was into captivity. I know some of the natives like to eat them, but nevertheless. And so they had a way of trapping them. And they would set a jar and fasten it so it could not be moved. And then they would put something inside. Some stories say it was a banana. Some say it was just peanuts. And so, of course, you know the story. A monkey, he comes, he's curious. What's this jar? What's in here? He looks at it and he can tell that there's something inside. And he reaches his hand in. And his hand goes in and out just easily. But when he grabs a hold of something and makes a fist, his hand will not come out of that jar. And so he holds on tightly to that banana or those peanuts. Well, now the monkey doesn't want to be caught. I can guarantee you. He wants freedom. But he also wants that banana. But he wants freedom. But he wants that banana. And in my mind, I can almost see his friends, his monkey friends, and mommy monkey, and all the ones around him. Let go. Just come on. But he's like, no, but I want this banana. And he holds on until the men come and capture him. And he gave up. He gave up his freedom for that banana. And I think about his divided heart. I want this. I want to be free. Who wants to live in a cage? Who wants to be eaten by the natives? The monkeys don't. But he held on and he was captured. Sometimes we've just got to let go of something if it's causing our heart to be divided. There's many scriptures that talk about God wants your whole heart. I looked it up. He says, seek me with your whole heart. Praise me with your whole heart. Cry with your whole heart. Return with your whole heart. God's wanting a whole heart. He's not interested in half-heartedness, double hearts, or divided hearts. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. And so in closing, I have some questions. Do you feel like maybe your heart's been divided, is divided? Sometimes you feel like it's kind of going one way and the other at the same time. There's different poles on you. Are you one person when you're here and someone else when you're at school or you're at work? Are you trying to live for God but live like the world at the same time? Are you limping between two opinions? Well, I think I want to serve God, but I don't think I want to serve God. Maybe I do. Are you a chameleon, trying to blend in with the people that you're around? Are you living for the Lord half-heartedly? Do you have a double heart? Do you say whatever gets you out of trouble at the time? Not really meaning it. If you have said yes to any of these questions, what are you going to do about it? Continue living with a divided heart. Hope for the best. Hope it works out. Pretend everything's okay. What kind of a life is that? Just like nobody's going to take this plate home that I know of in here and put food on it and eat off of it. I mean, we could sort of, but it's definitely, definitely not what it's made to be. Or are we going to say, Lord, unite my heart. I've had a divided heart, Lord. I've been going for the wrong things. I've been letting desires divide me, make me half-hearted, make me double-hearted. Psalm 86. Can you pray like the psalmist, the psalm writer? Oh, Lord, unite my heart. Just like this plate was created to hold food and torn in half is not usable. Your heart was made to serve the Lord. And when you have a divided heart, you're no longer able to do what you've been created for. And don't be discouraged. Don't say, I might as well just give up. I'm struggling. I can't do this. God has tape. And his tape's much better because I'm telling you right now, I don't want to take this plate home and put anything on it and eat it. I don't trust it. But when God tapes that divided heart back together, it can be just as good as new. You'll never even realize by looking it was divided. It'll be stronger. Case in point, I broke my foot this time last year, in May of last year. And they told me when that place on your foot heals, it will be stronger than it was before you broke it. Young people, some of these things I brought up, all of us struggle with. Don't be ashamed saying I'm the only person that ever felt like this. And I might as well just forget it. No. The scripture says there's balm in Gilead. It's like there's tape in my junk drawer. There's balm in Gilead. There's a healing, for God will help you with whatever you're dealing with. Thank you for your good attention.